Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm Paul Flav in for David Martin Davies. Late yesterday, the Via Metropolitan Transit Planners released its preferred route. The nearly 6 miles of streetcar has an estimated $280 million price tag, and it's the most expensive of the routes that they were presented with. According to Via, this leaves the project with a shortfall of about $70 million. Joining us to talk about this and about a recent three-part series on Seattle and Tampa streetcar programs is San Antonio Express News transportation reporter Viana Davila.
That was good.
All right, good. I know there are a number of our listeners with opinions on this topic. Give us a call, 614-8980. Did you hope for a different route? Would you get more attention would you pay more attention if it had been a better route? Are you someone who is opposed to the streetcar program altogether but has been won over recently by the route, or the exact opposite? Give us a call, 614-8980, or tweet us at TPR Source. Several of the proposed routes have positives and negatives. One ran past the Alamo, which caused somewhat of an uproar. Tell us about the preferred route they selected, though, Davila.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me, Paul. The route they selected was known as Alternative 6. That's just because it was one of the eight total routes that they looked at. This route is the largest of the routes, or I guess I should say the longest. It's about 5.9 miles. The original route was a little shorter than that, but in the end they added a little leg that will go into Southtown on St. Mary's. Previously, that route stopped at Cesar Chavez. This route, on the face of it, it looks like it makes a full loop around downtown. It goes on Cesar Chavez past the southern side of Hemisphere Park. On the north, it's going to come down Broadway. It's going to head on Martin Pecan west to Via's planned Westside Multimodal Center. And a little leg of it is going to travel on Buena Vista Market and Commerce, and then take a hard, right, or head south on Santa Rosa. There is some talk about changing out a couple of little details, but generally speaking, that's...
This is the route.
Yeah. Well, this is the route that staff and consultants are recommending.
But this isn't necessarily the pick. So what is next in the process?
Well, what's next is next week via... I don't believe they've scheduled a hard date yet, but the board is planning to have a workshop to discuss the route. There's also a public meeting on Wednesday, next Wednesday, for the public to actually ask some questions about the route, any other preliminary plans that Via may have, particularly about these other suggestions that have come up kind of at the last minute. And then on September 24th, at Via's regular board meeting, the board will have its first opportunity to actually say yay or nay to the route. You know, I'm sure there's a hope that they will say yes among planners because it means they can start this process of further study. You know, what they like to say is that this route is at 5 to 10% design, so there's a lot more work to be done.
So for a project that's at times been unpopular enough to derail public meetings that are about different things, mm-hmm. Can we draw any inferences from their picking the most expensive choice? Or are they feeling confident, or what do you think?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I was told that they have chosen this route that is quite large and which, you know, is I think you can say is far beyond the budget they have, is because they want to get it to treat it as a system. Anytime you're asking for federal money, and that's what Via plans to do at this point, you have to do a lot of studies, engineering studies, environmental studies. It's called getting a project environmentally cleared. And what I've been told is that they want to get this project environmentally cleared so that when they apply to the feds for money, they can say, hey, look, we've studied everything. But they've also said they know they'll probably have to do this in phases, or it's very likely they will have to build it in phases.
And so how much are they planning on requesting from the federal government?
You know, I don't know that they have an exact number figure. I mean, what we've said is that they have $210 million. This is going to cost $280 million, and that doesn't include any contingency, you know, emergency funds. So that's at least $70 million. You know, that's the minimum. So let's say that's what they'd ask for. You know, it just depends. What they also might do is say, okay, we think the north-south route is the one most likely to get federal funding. It's going to look the most attractive for the Fed. So we're going to apply for that route. Well, what's that route worth? You know, I can't say offhand if it's $120, $150, but they could apply for that amount as well. They would like a 50% federal match. They've said that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you recently took a look at some other streetcar programs in Tampa and Seattle, and you wanted to do what with this? What was the point of going to look at these other programs that were very different in nature?
The point of going to these cities is really, you know, this project in San Antonio has been in the works, well, at least I've been covering it about two years. And obviously, people are very passionate about this project on one side or the other. There's a lot of things that are said about it. It'll never work. There won't be ridership, or it will work. It'll revitalize downtown, help with economic development, and be the starter system so VIA can really maybe one day do a larger rail system. So I wanted to go to these cities and see, did that happen? But also, what were the circumstances, you know, around the financial circumstances, around these projects? They don't get built in a vacuum. And they obviously have two very different results in these cities.
614-8980 is the number to call if you have opinions about the new San Antonio streetcar program and its pick for a preferred route that was announced yesterday. So break down kind of what the lessons were. We'll go city by city. What did we learn from Seattle?
Well, okay, first, Seattle, they have a lot of public transit already. They're a city with multiple modes. They have light rail now. They have electric bus. People take it. They use it on a daily basis. A lot of people use it to get downtown. Second, as far as their streetcar goes, half of it was built with private money, or nearly half. And one of the folks giving to the project was Paul Allen. He's the co-founder of Microsoft. He's a billionaire. So he contributed, I believe, his company, about $8.1 million to the total cost. That's almost a third of the private money that went to the capital cost of streetcar. And then beyond that, his company bought up about 60 acres of the land in the neighborhood where the streetcar was built. So he was putting literally his money, but also his weight as a public figure behind this project, behind revitalizing this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And so San Antonio's been working on this for 2 years. How much private money has been put up for this?
Well, zero. There was a plan to have about $15 million from what they call a public improvement district around the streetcar. Property owners would have paid in. But I think there was a lot of uncertainty about, since no one knew where the streetcar was going to go, there was uncertainty about who should pay into it, how much. So that program has fizzled, but I suppose it could be brought back again.
And I don't know if you know this. Are there any kinds of large public figures in San Antonio, like Paul Allen was to Seattle, who are invested in terms of psychologically, at least, because they haven't come out publicly, and interested in making this happen?
You know, as far as I know, no one has said we're ready to sign on the dotted line. Ed Cross, who's a developer, said at a city council meeting, I believe early this year, when that $15 million public improvement district was removed from the city's funding chair, you know, he said, look, I believe in this project, but, you know, let's see who actually puts their money down.
We've got about 60 seconds before our break. Real quick, what do you think is the biggest lesson from Seattle?
It really helps if you have the private sector playing a role, and also that could affect just economic development in general where you are.
Vianna Davila, the transportation reporter from the San Antonio Express News, joining us to talk about streetcars. This is a source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back taking your calls after a short break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flapp in for David Martin Davies. We're talking streetcars. The new preferred route has been announced, and a three-part series from the San Antonio Express News was exploring other cities' streetcar programs and how they were implemented and ultimately how they fared as a result of that implementation. Vianna Davila from the San Antonio Express News, that author of those three-part series, and the transportation reporter joins us. Welcome back, Vianna. From
Hi,
the break.
Thanks, Paul.
No problem. We're going to take a call. Antonio is on the line. Antonio, you're on the air. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a bad idea. It has been voted down twice, and this time they've just gone around the people's voice and their vote by not allowing it on the ballot.
Okay, Antonio, thanks for your call. Vianna, give us a sense of kind of what you think the public opinion is of it. Antonio references being voted down twice. Are we talking light rail, or are we talking the actual streetcar program when he talks about that?
Well, there was an election in 2000 VIA wanted to build a very extensive light rail system, I think 52 miles, something of that sort, over 50 miles. And that was to, their election would have been to raise a sales tax to generate money for that project. That failed. There's never been, to my knowledge, a vote over a streetcar project. And I realize some people debate the differences between streetcar and light rail, but for our purposes here, you know, we're going to call the streetcar something separate. You know, this was via originally the county and the city coming together to fund this project. They're not raising any sales tax to do this project. They're using what they're collecting. So I think that's their thought, that they don't need to take it to an election.
Okay. So the plan relies on the feds to give us $70 million. Well, excuse me, they haven't said that.
Yeah, we don't exactly know how much.
But they are thinking they want to get a potentially a match. And what does it mean if they don't get the match? Do we have any idea where the plan could go if they don't shore up the money the way they expected to? Have they had any kind of talks about that?
You know, I want to be cautious in saying, you know, they just rolled this route out yesterday. It wasn't even to the full board. It was to, you know, a committee. So it hasn't been presented to the full board yet. And who knows what they're going to say? You know, that may be a concern that is raised. So let's start there. You know, the second point is, you know, I was talking to a VIA official yesterday. He said, look, I've always said there's still a good $210 million project in there. That's a reference to how much VIA has to spend. So in other words, you know, we could still build a project. Maybe it won't be our dream of building it, you know, almost 6 miles all at once, but we still could do something. And again, maybe that phasing would be over a longer term. But I do think it raises interesting questions of if they don't get funding for this project, you know, what are their chances to extend the system later, to make it into a larger system, you know, which would also, I would think, require some federal funding or state funding. But, you know, we don't know yet. It's too soon to tell.
614-8980 is the number to call if you have opinions about the streetcar. So we talked about the lessons from Seattle, and you also went to Tampa. You looked at their kind of a more vintage
right.
streetcar program. Tell mm-hmm. us about what the idea was, the concept was behind their streetcar system, and what kind of lessons that maybe we could draw from them.
Well, here's the difference between Seattle streetcar and Tampa's. Seattle's is a modern streetcar. It looks very sleek. It looks like a light rail vehicle, excuse me. And that's what San Antonio is planning to get. Tampa's is a vintage streetcar. It kind of looks like our rubber tire trolleys downtown that mm-hmm. you see.
Right.
So it was always sort of a nostalgic feel to it. And it connects two fairly large tourist or, you know, shopping and entertainment centers. And I think one of the ideas was, well, this is a natural fit to connect these two centers. Visitors who maybe are staying at hotels, don't have a car, want to go out and have a good time, they can use the streetcar. And then also the hope that maybe there'd be some growth around it and that, you know, some people thought that this could jumpstart their transit system and make it grow.
Which seems logical.
Right. That has not quite happened
okay.
In Tampa.
What has happened?
There's a lot of factors at work. The headline is that their ridership on the streetcar has plunged about 34% over the last 9-10 years.
When did they roll it out? I'm sorry.
They rolled it out in 2002.
So about 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Their okay. first full year of service was 2003.
Okay.
And so ridership has steadily been going down. There's been some economic factors at work in the city. There's a plaza shopping area near the streetcar that has had a lot of financial troubles, and I think there's some thought that that affected ridership because you didn't have this large number of people around it. You know, but it's not a commuter system. There's very few people that could use that to go to work unless they worked in one of these two tourist centers. And they've seen ridership drop.
614-8980 is the number to call. We are completely slammed, so good luck on your attempts to call in. We're going to take Ralph's call right now. Ralph, what were your thoughts on the streetcar program?
Well, first of all, I've studied human geography and landscape architecture. I see this more as a cultural issue. This is Texas. One of the issues here I see it as a cultural issue of getting past the cultural paradigm of, hey, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get freedom, and I'm going to drive. And part of that, you know, unless you raise the limit, instead of having 16-year-olds, you know, driving around, raising it to maybe 18-year-old or whatever to drive cars, that's going to be one challenge. The second thing is whether or not, you know, this this plan's using geographic information systems to do a good spatial analysis, which is one of the things that they use in Seattle, that they use a lot in Seattle. And I'm not sure if Tampa uses GIS for, you know, for some of their transit issues, but that could have been one of the problems in Tampa. But Seattle is heavy on GIS, and I'd like to hear the, you know, comments now.
Sure. Thanks, Ralph. Thanks for the call.
Ralph, thank you. I'm not really familiar with the GIS that you're talking about in Seattle, so I apologize. I can't really speak to that. But, I mean, you raise a really interesting point. As I said before, Seattle as a city has sort of already embraced public transit, I would say, more aggressively than San Antonio and certainly than Tampa.
So Seattle might have been already primed is what you're saying for a conversion.
You could make that argument. I mean, also, Seattle is geographically very small. It's very dense. They don't have the kind of extensive highway system that we have in San Antonio alone. You know, and he's right. We have that mentality here of you get in your car, you can go wherever you want. And let's be honest, San Antonio is a pretty affordable place to live. You know, however, I think what V is trying to do, at least, you know, in some aspects, is look to the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Get density.
Try to get people to use other forms of transportation for the environment. And just because, you know, people aren't making as much money as they used to.
All right. Christine. Christine had a question or comment. And 614-8980 is the number to call. Christine, you're on the air. What?
Paul?
Yeah.
I found it ironic that the committee that was exploring possible routes used a bus to explore those routes. So why not a bus? And the other thing is I took the statistics from the paper listing the cost of both the Seattle system and the Tampa system, and came out with the first year cost was $67 and change per passenger per day for the first year, and $11.21 per passenger per day since 2007. I consider that pretty high cost to get a person from point A to point B in a very short route. The Tampa system was even more expensive, $159 per passenger per day. And since
I take it, can you explain? You took the total number and you divided it by the number of passengers they had that first year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, obviously, it's something that is going to be in place for a lot of years, but I don't know. Did you have any comment back to what Christine was saying?
Let me definitely at least answer the first question about bus travel. You know, a lot of people ask that, why not a bus? You know, this is the argument that VIA and other streetcar supporters say. One, that you're not going to get the kind of economic development change that you're going to get with a streetcar because, you know, with streetcar, it's permanent. There's rail in the ground. With the bus, you can move the route at any time. One of the other things people say is, you know, hey, there are people who will not ride a bus,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who will ride a form of rail, particularly those choice riders, the riders that VIA is really hoping to get, people that have a car but choose to use public transit, you know, maybe for environmental reasons, what have you. And there's a feeling that there are folks that will not use the bus who will use the streetcar. I mean, we'll see, you know, what happens here. But those are some of the arguments.
Well, thanks for calling, Christine. Now, we got time for maybe one more call. So, Brent, what was your question or comment?
Well, I'm kind of, there was another election. I mean, you mentioned the 2000 where it did fail. But somewhere around 2008, and someone will have to verify me, there was another election. I remember voting for it, and I remember it passing.
Real quick, can I interrupt you? Are you talking about the Advanced Transportation District election in 2004?
2004? Yeah, it included the rail. It included the rail car. I remember that specifically when I voted for it. It was, I thought it was later than 2004, but it may have been. I thought it had been about 8 years since. I thought it was around 2008.
Well, I think we're both kind of stumped by your query, unfortunately, Brent.
I mean, well, I'll just say this. There was an election in 2004 that did pass for an advanced transportation district, and that's where that was that situation of no money going to light rail. But that's the only election that I can think of on that point.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Sorry for those calls we did not get to. This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. We are joined by Vianna DeVille. transportation reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Recent three-part series was just in the Express News over the last 3 days. This has been The Source. Welcome, come back. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening and calling in. Please continue to.